And before I start, I want to say a massive thank you to Dave Ellis. Some of you will know him. Dave is the regional minister now for Heber in this area. He was at Small Heath Baptist Church down the road. He's recently become a regional minister for his sins. and he's worshiping with us today, and it's great that you were able to come and help me out in the worship this morning. That was great. If you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to Psalm 84 again. And we'll see where we go. So we're continuing in this series of pilgrimage into his presence, looking at kind of this Lenten period as an opportunity to think about the pilgrim journeys that the Jews would take from their hometown up to the temple, up to the presence of God, where God dwelt, where God was. And we looked in our first week about how the first thing we do as people who are pilgrims before God, pushing into, seeking his presence, is about repentance. Repentance is setting our direction and our course upon God, making a choice, saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him where he leads me and where he guides me, which is a continuation of what we were talking about in our previous series about intimacy and obedience, about how when we draw close to him, Jesus says, come and follow me. He then says, come to me, all you who are weary. It's the idea of we come to Jesus, we come to him, and then we follow him where he leads. We yoke ourselves in intimacy with Jesus, and we go where he leads us. We set our course upon him and his path. And repentance isn't just about saying, where am I going to go? It's about saying, where I'm not going to go. It's making choices to say, actually, my life is for God. And even though temptation might come, and even though sin will arise, my heart is saying, my course is set. If you wait till an opportunity arises to make a decision about whether you're going to follow Jesus or not, it will make it 10 times harder. Make a choice every day saying, this day I set my course on Jesus. And whatever happens, my choices are based around that, that I set my course on repentance. We looked at Jesus, how he's baptized. It was an action of repentance. And when he repented, or when there was an action of repentance, he didn't need to repent, he was God. He was then filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of God turned up. So if you want to be people who encounter the presence of God, repentance is the first step on the journey to that. When there's repentance, it releases the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God can come and move amongst us when there is repentance of heart and confession of spirit. But then Jesus gets driven out of his baptism into the desert place. And we looked at Psalm 121, where it talks about how I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Saying that on this journey, it's not easy. Life is rubbish most of the time. The normal course of life is it's not good. Whenever there is something good in our life, that's the miracle of God's abundant grace. We should be expectant that things will go wrong at times. Things will go bad at times. There'll be times of joy, yes. But things are going to get rubbish at times. And that's okay. That's the norm. Jesus goes into the wilderness place. Even though he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, he goes into the desert place and he has to suffer in the desert. As he fasts and as he prays before he starts his ministry. We looked last week. I threw lots of information at you last week. I threw loads of stuff out. I want to recap slightly on that because I want to make sure we get this. That when we face issues in our life, where are we going to turn to? Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. My help doesn't come from there. My help comes from the God, the maker of heaven and earth. Where do we turn to when we have need? What's our first response when there's something in our life which causes us to have a need or a lack or a cause for some guidance or sin? And we looked at how in Chronicles, there's a story there about how people come to the temple and say, God, we're under threat, we're under attack, Sennacherib's about to come and kill us as a people. He wants to come and take over the land of Israel. And it says they gather at the temple, they gather to the place where God's presence is. And when they set their hearts upon God, they set their hearts upon being in his presence, what happens then is God fights the battle for them. They send out their worship team as their fighting party. and the worship team usher in the presence and the authority of God, and that authority overshadows the authority of Sennacherib's army. And we talked about this verse, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous run into, and they are safe. It's saying, if you are righteous, if you're a Christian, you're made right with God because of what Jesus has done at the cross. And therefore, you're righteous, you're allowed to run into the name of God. The name of God is his authority. It represents all that he is. It's not just his name of what we call him. It represents all of who he is, his characteristics, his nature, but his authority over all things. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and therefore everything in heaven and earth is under his command and under his authority. So when you're righteous, you gain access to the presence of God. And in his presence, in his name, there is safety. There is provision. There is the abundance of God for us in our life. The names of God, the different things that he represents. But the one I want to focus on this morning a little bit is just this one. I still can't pronounce it. The Hebrew, Jehovah Teskenyeh. I have no idea how you pronounce the Hebrew there. But what it is, it's God is my righteousness. God is the one who I am right before. God is my righteousness. He allows me to become righteous in his sight. I can't make myself righteous. There's nothing I can do to be more holy other than fall on the abundant grace of Jesus. Jesus, who is God, is our righteousness. He is the one who provides righteousness in our lack of sin. And last week I talked about this idea of how we are called to run into the presence of God. When we face a trial or we face some sort of lack or some sort of need in our life, it's like this, that it overshadows me, sin or lack or need. It overshadows me. It's higher than I am. I find myself in a place where I have nothing and it is over me, and therefore it has authority in my life because it is over me. When I am in sin, the authority of sin is over me because I have nothing, no way of getting out of that. If I am hungry, hunger has authority over me because I have a need and I have a lack. When I need financial provision and I have nothing, it has authority over me. There's nothing I can do. And so it's kind of the authority that you're living under. But the righteous, those who are made right with God, have the ability to run into the name of God, which says it's a strong tower. It's a place where you can take refuge and you can take strength from. And so I'm not going to climb the ladder because I've been told health and safety wise I'm not allowed to. But it's like we climb this ladder. That we get higher. That actually when we run into God, suddenly we're saying, all that is God's becomes mine. We become co-heirs with Christ, the scriptures say. That we take on the authority of Christ in our life. We become in Christ. We enter into his presence, into his provision, and suddenly what had authority over us and seemed so daunting suddenly becomes insignificant in light of who God is. And so how we run into the presence of God, into his name, into his authority, is about encountering his presence. Worship brings in, it ushers in the presence of God. And a worshipful lifestyle means that when you are struggling and when things are tough, what you do is you say, rather than saying, I can't worship God today because I don't feel like it, because everything seems too much, you say, no, I'm not going to let that have authority in my life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run into the presence of God. I'm going to proclaim that he is God and that I am in Christ, as the scriptures say so many times. I am in Christ, and therefore what is true for Christ becomes true for me. That when sin says, you're not very good, are you? You messed up again today. You listen to the voice of authority that it's trying to have over you. You say, but in him, I am set free. I am righteous. Sin, you have no authority here. So you run into the name of God. You run into the authority of his name. We talked about last week how when you have a passport, it says, in the Britannic Majesty's name, I require and request you to give passage to this person. It's saying that we have a passport that says, in any situation, you can say, in the name of Jesus, this lack of, or this need, or this sin, you have no authority in my life, because I am in him. I run into his name. and nurturing a lifestyle and cultivating a life of praise and of worship helps. It's one of the ways we can usher in the presence of God, usher in his authority, because what you worship shows what authority you're under. How you spend most of your time, I said before, demonstrates really what has authority in your life. If you spend all your time watching TV, TV has authority over you. If you spend all your time at a football match and that becomes your thing, it has authority over you. If we spend our lives worshipping Jesus, it's saying, he has authority over me, but I enter in. Goliath from the Philistine army turns up on the borders of Israel, and they say, we're here, we've got a giant, beat that, Israel. And everyone's cowering away, going, oh, it's terrifying, he's such a big guy. And then David pops along and is like, what's your problem? He's like, don't we worship the God who is over everything? What's this giant in the face of the God Almighty? He says, I'll fight him, because I go out there in the place of standing in the authority of who God is. I'll go out there and I'll fight this battle, because this enemy who is crippling us with fear, who's trying to have authority in our life. So he says, God's done it for me in the past, he'll do it again. And as Christians, we need to make sure that we think about and reflect on and remember what God has done for us in the past. Those times when we've encountered God previously and go, you know what? When I had a problem last time, I ran into the presence of God and God came through. And yet this time I'm sort of going, oh, oh. He's going, well, do what you did in the past. David says, what is this? Because I've been here before. I'm sure it didn't stop him being terrified still, but he went into it going, in faith, not fear, I approach this enemy. And so for us as Christians, nurturing a lifestyle of praise and worship like David, I think it gives you confidence in who your God is. And every time you see God come through for you, remember it. And when you face something new this time, you go, God's been faithful in the past, he'll be faithful this time. He'll be faithful this time. When I was at university, as you probably gathered with my dyslexia, exams and things like that are just horrible. And I hate anything to do with academia because it freaks me out. And I got to the point in my last year where I had one exam. In my entire time at university, everything was essay-based apart from this one exam at the very end in New Testament epistles. Just thinking about it now makes me scared. And I said to God, I'm going to fail this. I'm going to fail this. I'm going to fail my whole degree. And I became sort of so kind of fearful of this exam. I became so like, this is just, it's too much. I can't do it. And I nearly left university. It was kind of, it was got to the point of going, I'd rather walk away from this. I can't deal with this. I became so paralyzed with fear over an exam. Anyone been there before? This is just me. And I was thinking, what? No, I was like, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. And I remember just sitting down and praying, and just God said, Pete, how far have I brought you through this process? Your church have said, yes, you should do this. Minrec have said, you should do this. The college has said, yes, we think you should be doing this. It's going, is one exam going to stop God from fulfilling his purposes and his plans? But we can worship Jesus face to face in the here and now, which means that in grace, I can now enter into the holiness of God. I can be set free from sin, and I can now become righteous before God in his grace. And see, God's grace is saying, I allow you to be in my presence. And grace is there saying, come to me. Come and experience my love. But so often in life, when we're going through things, when we hit struggles or hard times, we move away from grace because we don't want to go near God because either I'm not sure he'll come through for me, or actually, I don't feel good enough to be able to ask him about this. And we step back into being under sin and being what's called under law. And it has an authority in our life. And the great thing about grace is it just says, any time you can flip back, you can repent, you can turn back to him and be back into his presence. You can be back into his place where you're set free. So if you're here this morning and you're kind of going, oh, I've backslidden, I've fallen away from God, but now I've fallen away from him, I don't feel able to approach him. God's saying, just turn around, come back to me. And immediately you're back in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, there is freedom. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we approach back to God and His grace. It reminded me of a sermon that I preached actually probably about a year ago now. A sermon called Grace in the Wilderness. I can't remember it either, so don't worry. I'm going to tell you. And it's a verse from Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31. And he says, and he's speaking to the exiles. Israelites have been exiled into Babylon. And they're gutted. And they're really down and they're really sorrowful. Because by being in exile, they're away from the temple, which to them was being able to encounter God, being able to enter the presence of God. And Jeremiah says to them, look, God has saved you in the past. He says, you were in slavery, and those who didn't die by the sword found grace in the wilderness. Jeremiah 31, verse 2. And it's saying, as he set you free in the past, out of Egypt, into the Exodus, and out into the desert, those people found grace. He says, now you're in exile, and you're away from the presence of God. He's saying, God will bring you back. He says, you can come back to God. He's going to do something to allow you to come back to him. And when you come back to him, it says, your weeping and your mourning will turn to songs of joy. He says, you can come back and you can encounter the presence of God. Because when you encounter the presence of God, you will know his grace. You will know his freedom. You will know his mercy. So nurturing an intimate relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit inside of us is knowing that you live as someone who's under grace. So no matter how bad you mess up, no matter how awful you do, God's still there going, I love you. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus at the cross, I love you still. You are loved so much. And that's what makes being a Christian so exciting and so freeing. Because it's not about, I must pray today. Oh, I must read the Bible. Oh, I must go to church. It's saying, oh, I get to go to church and encounter God. I get to come to the Bible and encounter God. I get to spend time in prayer and encounter God. And when I do that, I feel the freedom of grace in my life. That's why it's good news. But we turn it around and make it this oppressive kind of, oh. And why it becomes oppressive is because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to live this Christian life. And God's going, oh, whoa, whoa. You follow me. You yoke yourself in intimacy, as we talked about it from Matthew's gospel. You yoke yourself in intimacy, and I lead you, and I take you on this journey. This journey of grace that you walk through. And it says, no matter how bad you're feeling, no matter how bad the wilderness gets, grace is always there. Grace is always there to pick you up and to be with you. We can encounter him. And the whole thing about Job's story, I've said this before, Job has this horrible story where he's got everything and suddenly his whole world collapses. He loses his wife, his children, all his livestock die. He loses everything. He gets really unwell. He gets sores all over his body. It's all horrible. It's like, oh, this poor guy. And he's saying, I still worship God, but this is really not good. Everyone's going, you've sinned, haven't you? You're a bad person. You're awful. And he's going, that doesn't sound like the God that I know. And he comes to God and says, God, what's going on? And Job never gets an answer. He never gets an answer to his question. But what he gets is an encounter with God. He doesn't get an answer, he gets an encounter. I believe there will be a day when we meet him face to face where we'll get an answer to those questions that we have. Those questions are going, why God? Why has this happened? How on earth could this be right in your sight? How on earth could you let this happen? But Job doesn't get an answer to that question. What he gets into his encounter. He comes to the presence of God, and there what he finds is a God of comfort and a God of love and a God of grace. He gets an encounter with God. In the Jeremiah 31, God says, I will, quite a few times, he says, I will bring you back. I will turn your mourning into dancing. I will turn your sorrow into joy. I will do this. I will do that. You see, hard stuff will happen to us. We'll go through things which are rubbish and hard and naff, because that is life. We live in a fallen world. When I was about 15, 16, I went to Soul Survivor, Christian youth camp down in Somerset that we go to every year here with the young people. And at that point, I'd been quite far away from God. I was pretty hacked off with him because my parents had split up. The church plant they were doing had acted pretty horribly towards them. God was not something that I was happy about at all. He was there still, I sort of vaguely, but it's not something that I wanted to go and do. And I went to Soul Survivor, and I was like, oh, Christians. Oh, and charismatic Christians. Oh, they're really into singing and dancing, and they're really into, oh. And I sat there for the first 2 days. I sat there just going, oh, yeah. And what I was crying about was some of the hurt and some of the pain that I was feeling about my parents breaking up. It didn't stop it happening. It didn't stop it being the situation that it is. But what happened was, as I encountered God, it gave me a place where I could grieve and I could weep in a place of comfort and a place of grace. I didn't get an answer to that question, but I got an encounter. And in that encounter, I found a spirit of joy that God cares about me. He cares about what I'm going through. He cares about my situation. And I was able to just come and weep before him. And I think when it says, I'll turn your weeping into dancing or your weeping into joy, it's not saying you forget about what's gone on and it's all fine and dandy now. It's not that at all. It's saying, as it says in Revelation, I'll wipe away every tear from your eye so that you are released from this pain, released from the authority of this pain in your life, and you can encounter joy in me. And that's the great thing about grace, is it's about restoration. Grace restores us. When we come to the presence of God, we find truth that restores our hearts and restores our very being. When you come to the presence of God, you find out who you truly are. You might have been called certain names in your life and had labels put on your life. When you come to the presence of God, God says, that's not right. Grieve that out before me. Let me take your pain from you. That's the cross. Let me take your pain from you so that you can be set free into joy. We need to be honest about how we're actually feeling before God. And we need to do that with the pain in our life and go, actually, you know what? God, I'm really naffed off about that. But I want to be naffed off about it in your presence, not let that stop me from approaching you. I want to be set free from that, not a barrier to you. See, when you hit the wilderness times, the danger is that you walk away from God because you think, I can't deal with you, God, right now. And so you walk away, and what happens is the things that have authority in your life, the sin in your life that has authority, or the hardship in your life takes precedent over you. It overshadows you. And it says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. It says that in... oh, fantastic. Well done, Alfie. It's up on the screen. You're ahead of me. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. He's not saying come to God and you'll always be happy. Woohoo! Everything's wonderful. It's not that at all. Joy isn't happiness. Joy is about a deep understanding and knowing of who God is and what he's done for us. And saying my joy comes from the fact that those things haven't got to hold me back. I can be set free from those things. And therefore, I have a joy in God that in his presence, I can be set free and released. And therefore, my joy comes from his presence. And there it says, there's the fact that the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, or our strong tower, or the power. You see, we can't do it in our own strength. We can't live life in our own strength. We need to do it in his strength. And we do that by encountering him in his presence to release the fullness of joy in us so that the joy of our God is our strength to live by. Nurturing a lifestyle that lives in the authority of saying, I am in Christ and I worship him. It shows I am under him. So worship shows who your authority is. It releases joy and it releases encounter and it makes Satan fall away. We won't get answers necessarily in this lifetime, but we can get encounter. And it's encounter which is the thing that drives us forward as Christians. It's the thing that drives us forward in this Christian life. Lord, thank you that you are a God who understands the rubbish and the nastiness of life. Lord, when things get tough, you've been there. You've been to the very cross. And Lord, it says in the scriptures, it says in Hebrews, that for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. that, Lord, you went through the pain and the hardship. You joined with us in our suffering so that, Lord, there could be great joy for all of us. Lord, I pray that we would know your presence, that we know encounter with you, and that in your presence there would be fullness of joy, full restoration of who we are. You'd restore us to our fullness, and that, Lord, the joy of the Lord would then be our strength, the power we live by. Lord, I pray for us that we be a people who run into your presence, run into encounter, when those questions have no answers. Amen.
From Psalm 91, he will cover you with his wings. You'll be safe in his care. His faithfulness will protect and defend you. Then John started having tests and investigations, and I was thinking, okay, I've got a feeling here. You are preparing me for something. And then the week before Christmas, we had the news that John had, calm down, lung cancer, and it was inoperable. We were very wobbly at that time, but in the course of a couple of days, God gave me this verse, and I'm holding on to this. Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him. Build your lives on him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. And be filled with thanksgiving. And that very morning I found myself singing the song that we sang earlier about bless the Lord, oh my soul, but the one we sang earlier. And that cropped up time and time again. The first Sunday after that I came into church, that was the first song we sang. And all I wanted to say was that Pete's right. If we praise God, even in the times when it's really, really hard to praise him, and if we just hold on, and a lot of the time, I know a lot of you out there have done it and are doing it. Hold on with your fingertips if necessary, but hold on, because he won't let you down. And he's true and he's faithful, and he's kept us both really strong. And already the cancer's shrunk by almost half. And we just praise the Lord. Thank you.
Call upon you if we spend time with you, if we rest in your authority, Lord. Somehow you do bring us through the storms. And for that we praise you. We thank you for this man of God here today. Lord, at the age of 27, you've filled him with so much wisdom already. Lord, he loves your word. He pours over it. He looks at it. He goes deep into it. Lord, you give him a heart of love for the people here as well. A passion to see the church grow and reach the community. A passion to see the wider church come alive in you. Lord, we pray that you continue to anoint Pete with your Holy Spirit, that you'd fill him from the very crown of his head to the very soles of his feet, and you'd fill him to overflowing. Lord, as your leader here, we pray, Lord, that where he goes, the people will follow, and that, Lord, where you lead, Pete will run after you. And so thank you, Lord. Really crucial time in the life of the church. Just come and fill it now with your Holy Spirit. Give it a heart to chase after the things of yours. Give it a passion to reach the lost in Yardley and further afield. And Lord, use this man and his leadership team and the whole church, because we're all priests here, all of us. Use your priests here to extend your kingdom far and wide. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Lord God, I pray your blessing upon that couple. Lord, we pray your hand would overshadow them, as it says in Psalm 91. Lord, you would be with them. And that, Lord, we thank you for what you've already been doing in miraculous power. And Lord, we pray more of that blessing. We pray life into John's body. We pray life and wholeness and healing over him. Lord, we offer them up to you, and we ask you to hold them in your hand so close and so tight. And Lord, give them that assurance and that confidence in you, that the power of grace allows us to draw so close to you. Heavenly Father, protect them, we pray, in your name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and evermore. Amen.